ICS Live Facebook transmission. Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May you know and experience His peace this morning. His peace that goes beyond all human understanding and wisdom. It goes beyond all our circumstances, whether they're good, whether they're bad, whether they're ugly, or even indifferent. A peace that comes through the Spirit of the living God. We acknowledge this morning that we do not have all the answers, but we do serve and love a God that does, a God that does have all the answers, and a God that loves us dearly, a God that leads us, a God that guides us, a God that blesses us, a God that reveals Himself to us, a God who is close by and not a God who is far away. The prophet Isaiah put it like this: "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. I will not abandon you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames, they will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And I pray this morning that you would experience that reality. Brother Nick has a powerful message this morning, and it's called "The Miracle That Changed the World." So God bless you, and God bless you, Nick, as you share. Amen.
Dear friends, I'm Nick. I'm glad to be able to share with you the message of God in this morning. I know that for all of us, the circumstances are not how we used to have during this season. And I believe that our message, the message that we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the joy of the celebration doesn't depend by the circumstances, doesn't depend by the things that we may not have in this time. We are used maybe on the Easter time to have a blessed time with our families, to have a blessed time with friends, to have big services in the churches. But on this time, it seems that we are feeling alone. But the reality is that we are not alone. And as I saw a picture that was really interesting, the enemy was saying to Jesus, "Hey, I closed all the churches." And Jesus was answering to the enemy, "No, you closed the buildings, but now in every house it's a church." Dear friends, the church is not a building. We are the church, wherever we are. And I know something, that the presence of God and the Holy Spirit can, it is living in our hearts and also in our families. So I would love to encourage you in this morning. And I don't know how I can encourage you, and I don't know how I encourage myself, but I know something. The best encouragement that I can have, and the best encouragement that we can have, is in the Word of God. It's always the Word of God. It's always the best news. The good news, it's for you and for me today. The Word of God has not changed. God has not changed. His Word is still powerful. And the message that we have is still a fresh message that we must preach it today. So, I would love to go with you in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read from the chapter 24. And we read from the verse 45 to 49. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, from the 45 to 49. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Amen. The Gospel of Luke in the chapter 24 is bringing to us this message. And in the beginning of the chapter, we saw Jesus, that he was walking with two of his disciples. And those people, they were following Jesus until the point that he died on the cross. And when Jesus, he died on the cross, for them, everything was collapsing. And because they don't understand it, why he should die. And Jesus, he was walking with them. He was walking with them, and he was listening their message. And the Bible says that those disciples, they were not just shocked that Jesus died, because they were thinking that he will be the Messiah, but they were even more shocked when they hear amazing news that Jesus, he raised from the dead. So this was like even more confusing for them. If he died, it was like, oh, why he died? But then, when he raised from the dead, wow, that was even something even stronger. But the most powerful moment for those disciples, it was the moment when Jesus showing himself to them. It was the moment that Jesus showing himself to them. You know, sometimes the wrong expectation, sometimes the pain of life, and sometimes the bad news can hide the presence and the face of Jesus in our lives. I want in this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ to reveal to you in a special way. Jesus Christ is the one that is penetrating the darkness, is the one that is changing the situations, and he is the one that he has power to touch our lives in this morning. So I love with all my heart the gospel, because the gospel is the best news. The gospel, the message that we have today, it's an old message, but it's still new. The message that we have today, it's a message that must be preached to the end of the world, to the end of the earth. So, the title of this message, I call it like this: the miracle that changed the world. The miracle that changed the world. This is the title of this message. And I would love to speak in this morning about four things, which are so important for all of us in this day. First of all, concerning the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus and his sacrifice was prophesied by the scriptures. What happened with Jesus, his birth, that he was born in Jerusalem, he was born in Jerusalem. The way, the miracles that he have done, the sacrifice that he have done, all of these are prophesied in the Old Testament. When Jesus Christ, He came on this world, He came at the right time, and He came to fulfill the prophecies which were spoken about Him in the Old Testament. And I would love to share with you a couple of verses from the Old Testament. And I will share with you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And let's look in the John 7:38, how this fulfilled through Jesus. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living waters will flow from within them. By this he meant the spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Isaiah, he prophesied about living waters, which they're gonna come on the people. Jesus, he came and he fulfilled that promises. Let's look now in the Isaiah chapter 43, the verse 12. Therefore, I will give him a portion amongst the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And let's see in the Mark 15:27 how this prophecy was fulfilled. They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. So the death of Jesus was prophesied even before to happen with hundreds and hundreds of years. We know that the Jews, they were bringing lambs. And the reason of bringing sacrifice is that the blood of the sacrifice to be shaken. Because those sacrifices, they were a shadow. A shadow of the biggest sacrifice that God have done for us through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, he spoke about his death. He spoke about the moment that will come, that he will die, and he will die for the sin of the world. Many people on these times, they are asking themselves, did Jesus really die? Yes. The reason that Jesus really died, first of all, as I say, it was because it was prophesied that this lamb, this sacrifice, it will be done for the sin of the world. This will be done to fulfill the law. But in the same time, the Romans, the people who put Jesus, who hang Jesus on the cross, they were experts to kill people through crucifixion. So when Jesus, he was on the cross, according to the Roman rule, they must be sure that he will die on the cross. So according to the history and according to what's happening on the cross, Jesus was crucified on the cross. Now speaking about resurrection, did he really resurrect? Yes. And I'm going to read from the Isaiah 53 verse 11. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Mark 16:6. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell to his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he raised from the dead. First of all, as I say, because it was prophesied. And every prophecy that was done about Jesus was fulfilled in him. He was prophesied that he will die, and he will die for the sin of the world. In the same time, the Bible says, either in the Psalm 16, that he was not able, the death, to keep him. So Jesus, he raised from the dead because it was prophesied. Second, this miracle is proved by the history. And first proof, it's found in the accusation. The Jews, they were accused, the disciples of Jesus, that they steal his body. The Jews didn't suppose that Jesus, he didn't die on the cross. But the accusation of the Jews was that his disciples stole his body. That means it was nobody found. It was no one in the grave. And I would like to just to speak about two people who were in the history. They wrote about this. And the historian Flavius Josephus, on his writer, called Jesus and Pilate. And then he mentioned about Jesus and his crucifixion, and also the consideration of him being raised from the dead. The other, it was the Roman historian and the senator Tacitus, wrote specially about the sacrifice of Jesus and his death. The history, the proof that Jesus, he raised from the dead, there are so many. The history, the fact that Jesus, he raised from the dead, it's proof by the history herself. I would like to go more and to speak about this miracle who had changed the life of his disciples. His power in the mouth of a witness. The disciples, your witnesses in the first hand. And we know that the disciples, they were transformed by the life of Jesus. But as we read in the Luke 24, we see this story that two of his disciples, they are going away from the way. We don't know where they are going, but we know something. Jesus himself show himself to them. So one of the most powerful proof that Jesus raised from the dead is the natural way on which the things are presented. In the Mark 16, we know that the women, they are going to make, according to the Jewish tradition, to put oil on the body of Jesus. So everyone, they knew that Jesus is dead there. And the Bible is presenting that when the women go there, there are two angels inside of the grave. And the stone, which was a big stone, was not anymore there. And the Bible, it's presenting this story that the women go there, and the body of Jesus was not anymore there. So the resurrection of Jesus, it's one of the miracles that changed the life of the disciples as nothing else. Because if we look to the disciples, the disappointment that they have when Jesus was dying on the cross, it was huge. But the power and the grace and the courage that come upon the disciples after Jesus raised from the dead, it's amazing. It's amazing. So the gospel must be preached in all the world, because the disciples, they were some disciples like all of us. And when they saw Jesus, remember about Thomas. Thomas, he go and he says, I want to touch Jesus. I want to touch his hands. I want to see with my eyes the sign that he is. And the Bible says that Jesus allow the unbelief of Thomas to be manifested. And he allowed Thomas to see with his eyes that he, the one that is standing in their midst, it's Jesus Christ. The life of the disciples were completely transformed. And some people, they were saying that the disciples of Jesus, they have like, this was something that it's happening in their minds. I want to share something so important. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, do you believe that those people, they are able to die for their faith in Jesus Christ? I don't believe so. No one which is a normal has not power, have no power to support a liar. And no one has no reason to die for the faith in their Jesus, in the Messiah, if they didn't believe, they didn't see it, Jesus being raised from the dead. One of the fact that inspired me so much to believe that Jesus raised from the dead is the, it's actually is very interesting, but is the unbelief of his disciples. The Bible says that even his disciples, they didn't believe it. It was so powerful, this miracle, because they saw Jesus crucified. They knew he's dead. And then Jesus himself showing up in their midst. So when I look to the story that is presented, this is so natural. I can find myself there. And the second point, according to the Jewish tradition, you know, the first witnesses that saw Jesus being raised from the dead, it was some, there were some women. So this is showing to us that the story, it is really truth, and is nothing adding on this. Why? Because if someone wants to make a story about Jesus being raised from the dead and being Jesus being alive, the first witnesses should be a man, should be men, not women, because the testimony of the women in that context, it was not so value. It was the people, they don't value the testimonies of the women. So these miracles has changed the life of his disciples. The disciples preached in the same place, the resurrection of Jesus. You must know that it was a big storm in Jerusalem. But those two disciples, which they were on the way to Emmaus, they were saying to Jesus, "Hey Jesus, you are the only foreigner. You don't know what's happening here. It was a great prophet that we think that he is the Messiah. But the Jews, Pilate, they crucify him." So the death of Jesus, it was a huge, huge subject of the newspaper of that time. So those people, they were like amazed. So when they start to preach about Jesus being raised, being alive, they start to preach in the same place. So that is giving to us the credibility of the fact that Jesus, it was really, really amongst them. Their courage was beyond their limits. Wow. Because now their faith was really exploding, you know, because they saw Jesus doing miracles. They saw Jesus raising other people from the dead. But when they saw Jesus alive in their midst again, that was like, whew, it was amazing. It was really, really amazing. They were in unity and waiting the Holy Spirit. Jesus raised from the dead and he spoke to them. He spoke to them, wait in Jerusalem. So those people, they saw Jesus, they hear his command, and they go to Jerusalem to wait. To wait. Do you believe that those people, they are going to Jerusalem to wait if they didn't see Jesus resurrected? If Jesus was not resurrected from the dead, why they should go in Jerusalem to wait? No, because Jesus was alive. Their minds were open to understand the entire plan of salvation. And look in the verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Their hearts were fully in their journey to follow Jesus. Their life were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, in the verse 45, then he opening their minds so they could understand the scriptures. My dear friends, I'm reading the Bible every day. I'm born in a family that we hear the gospel so many times. I have heard the gospel from the age of 5 years. I was going in the church when I was five. I don't remember even when I started to go to the church, because my family deals all the time a big rule in my family to go every Sunday to the church. But I want to tell you something. It was coming a moment in my life that I start to ask myself, is this truth or not? So that was the age of 17. And I was reading, and I was used to the Word of God. I was used to see, you know, to hear the gospel, to hear the message of God. And I remember that day, it was a special day. Because in that day I was reading from the Bible, the John 3 with 16. In that moment when I start to read, I feel that my mind opened. I feel that that word that I was reading, those words, it was my reality. I feel it in that moment that those words are real, are so real, and they are for me. The Bible says that those disciples, they didn't see Jesus anymore. They didn't understand who is Jesus. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Many people in these days, they don't see the message of the gospel as the plan of salvation. And I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit open their minds. It's so important in this day, people to open their minds, to open their hearts to God. The Bible says that those disciples, they open their minds. The God opened their minds to understand the plan of salvation. And according to the law of Moses, it was what's supposed to happen. Jesus to die, to raise from the dead, that in his name to be preached the gospel to all the nations and forgiveness of sins. So, and the last fact is that this miracle is still changing lives. Those disciples went and preached the power of God work through them. This miracle happened one time for all of us. The message of the gospel is still changing lives. It keeps going on. The gospel is be preaching all over the world with bigger speed. With bigger speed as never before. The miracles is God's miracle for all humanity. The prophets seen a shadow, the sacrifice of Jesus, and they believed. We look back and we look by faith, but also by the arguments and real proofs. My dear friends, I want to remain to this message here. And I want to encourage you that in this day, this miracle has changed the humanity, has changed millions of lives, millions of people. This miracle that Jesus he raised from the dead has changed my life. The sacrifice that he has done for me has changed me completely. This miracle is still changing the lives. But I want to encourage you in this day. This miracle, the cross, the power of salvation, the message of God for all humanity is still changing the lives. But it must to be preached. We must to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as never before. There's nothing else in this world that can deliver the world from the sin. There's no medicine for the sin except Jesus and his blood. I want really to encourage you from the bottom of my heart. Please preach the gospel. Preach the gospel in these times. Preach the gospel in this time. Don't stop. Never stop preaching the gospel. Jesus is alive. He is alive and he is working through the Holy Spirit on this world as never before. keep preaching the gospel. Never stop. Never stop. Don't allow nothing to stop you. Don't allow anything to stop you. Don't allow the quarantine. Don't allow anything to stop you on preaching the gospel. Our Jesus, He is alive. He loves you. He loves me. And I want to encourage you that God bless you, that God loves you. Be strong. Stay in faith. Be strong. Stay in faith. Look for the unity. Look for the best that you can get out from this quarantine. And what's the best from this quarantine that I find is that in this time I'm spending such a quality time with Jesus Christ. And I'm developing my relationship with Him. I'm reading the Word. I'm listening sermons. I'm so happy to be every day in His presence. Be happy with Him. Be happy with Jesus. May God bless you. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nick, for that wonderful message. Please let us pray. Elohim, Creator God, Ancient of Days, Alpha and Omega, Beginning and End, Yahweh, Abba Father, Daddy, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise this morning. We thank you for your amazing grace, this unmerited favor that we do not deserve or that we could ever earn. We thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank you that while we were still sinners, you actually died for us. We thank you that we are forgiven, that we are accepted, and that we are loved. We thank you that you never sleep or slumber, that you are the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We thank you that our names are carved into the palm of your hands. We thank you that even the hairs on our head are numbered. We thank you that as your children, we have an inheritance kept in heaven for us that can never spoil, perish, or fade. We thank you that we have an abundant life here on earth. We thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us, no matter where we are or what we do. You are with us, and we thank you that you died so we could live. We thank you for the resurrection, and we thank you that we will rise with you, that death has been defeated. We thank you that when we believed, we received this glorious salvation. Then you gave us the right to be called children of God. We thank you that you have sealed us, separated us, and claimed us as your own. And you've put your holy seal upon us. Yourself, God, the Holy Spirit, is in us. And we are now in Christ. And God, the Holy Spirit, now lives in us. And no one in heaven or in earth or below the earth can separate us from the love of the Father in Christ Jesus, or ever snatch us out of your hand. And we thank you that mercy has triumphed over judgment. It's all about you, O Lord, and it's not about us. Help us, O Lord, to walk in the inheritance that you've purchased for us, the inheritance that we have as children of God. May we take every thought captive and subject it in obedience to your holy living word. Help us to exchange the lies for your truth and cast all our worries and cares and anxieties upon you, because you care for us. Help us to walk in truth and in peace. Father God, of all compassion and comfort, we thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. We pray today for Macedonia, and for all the nations represented at ICS, and for all the nations that are affected by this COVID-19 pandemic. May we, who are merely inconvenienced, remember those lives that are at stake, the sick, the vulnerable, the old and the frail, the health workers up front and behind the scenes. We pray for care and for healing. We pray for the families and friends of those who have died. Comfort them, heal their confusion, and calm all their fears. Heal those afflicted and strengthen all those who are responsible for caring. In your great mercy, O Lord, please provide a cure and give wisdom to those who are working on it. Enable us to walk by faith. Help us to be careful and wise in taking whatever precautions that are necessary to limit and contain the spread of this virus. Strengthen us to remain calm and vigilant, responsible, and seeking the welfare of others above ourselves. In this time of uncertainty, we pray that people will consider the security that we have in your Son, Christ Jesus. Give us the courage to point others to Him and that share the hope that we have in Him. May we be light and salt during these times. May we point our friends and our families that don't yet know you to you, our God, our Lord, and our Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Nick, for sharing with us this morning. I'd like to close this transmission with a blessing, with a benediction from Romans. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in the whole of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Go with God. God bless you. Encourage each other this week, and may your light shine bright as possible under the circumstances and curfews that we find ourselves in. I pray that we find creative ways to bless and care for each other these days. God bless you. Amen.